Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court, I am Eric Ryan. I represent the plaintiff appellant here today, David Killinger. I won't spend a lot of time with the facts, as you know from the briefs. Mr. Killinger owns and operates a restaurant and bar in Port Byron, Illinois, G's Riverfront Cafe. On August 10th, 2001, during what's called the Tug Fest in Port Byron, a large festival in that city, Mr. Killinger's bar was closed down due to the conjoined action of the Chief of Police, Chief Rathburn, and the Mayor, Don Johnson. They decided, based on seeing one 20-year-old drinking a beer that was the sort that G's Riverfront Cafe was serving that night, to close down the bar for the rest of the night. The district court dismissed this case, gave summary judgment to the defendants based on, first of all, judicial immunity for Don Johnson, decided that this was an act by Don Johnson as the Liquor Control Commissioner for the Village of Port Byron, and that was protected by judicial immunity against civil actions for a judicial act. Now, there's no doubt here, and nobody's arguing, that there is judicial immunity where a judge has taken part in a judicial act within that judge's jurisdiction. The question here is whether this act was within Don Johnson's jurisdiction. And after admitting that that is the main question, I'm going to take a step back and say that it's unfortunate that all of us, myself included, have stuck with this term jurisdiction all this time without getting into it a little bit further. Because Don Johnson, as Liquor Control Commissioner, was an administrative agent. He was not a judge in the normal sense. And while the act of a Liquor Control Commissioner can also be entitled to judicial immunity, he doesn't have jurisdiction as we normally think about it. Rather, as was pointed out very nicely in a very recent case from the 4th District that I provided as supplemental authority, Ferrari versus the Illinois Department of Human Rights, an administrative agency does not have general or common law powers. It has powers only those that are granted to it by the legislature. Any action it takes must be specifically authorized by the statute creating the body. The term jurisdiction is not strictly applicable to an administrative body. Rather, it is just authority by the administrative body to act that is discussed when jurisdiction is mentioned. Where an administrative agency acts outside its specific statutory authority, it acts without jurisdiction, and its actions are void. That statement was made even more strongly in the Shipley case cited in the briefs, Shipley versus Stevenson County Electoral Board, where the court stated that actions taken outside the authority granted to an administrative body are illegal and void. There is no basis to take an action outside the statutory provisions. He did. The power granted to him isn't merely to revoke. It's merely to revoke in a specific instance following specific rules set out. He doesn't have a general power to revoke at any time. He has to do the things that are required by the statute in order to act in the manner that's provided in Section 575. It does give, and it's not revocation, essentially. It's a brief closing, a temporary closing, not allowing them to sell liquor according to their license. The Shipley case, again, says that you have to follow the mandatory provisions of an act as an administrative agent in order to have the power to act. So, he has, No, Your Honor. He has the authority only if he follows the prescribed procedure in the Act. He has the authority only if he makes the determination, according to Section 575, that he has reason to believe that continued operation will immediately threaten the welfare of the community. This isn't a provision to close down the bar temporarily merely because there's been a violation. He can, if he makes a decision that that is what happened, statute provides further, though. That is true, that he's made a decision that he thinks that should be closed down. That's exactly the point in this case, Your Honor. We think he did close it down because he thinks there's a violation. That's not what the statute provides. And that's the problem with what he did here, too. I wouldn't say the whole argument, Judge, because deciding that there is some kind of threat to the welfare of the community isn't the only thing that he has to do in order to have this power. He also has to issue that written notice. He has to give an opportunity to be heard during the period of the closing. He has to do all of these things to even have that power. The statute specifically says he may, upon the issuance of a written order, close the premises for not more than 7 days, giving the licensee an opportunity to be heard during that period. He may not do that. The converse of what is stated there is that he may not do that unless he's issued that written order stating his reasons. And what we have here is a situation where we don't know his reasons. His reasons could have been he thought there was a single violation and that this was a proper way to punish a single violation. That's not what the statute provides. His reasons could have been that he disliked the type of beer that G's Riverfront Cafe was serving that night, and he didn't like that one 20-year-old got hold of a can. We don't know that. We don't have a written order required by statute to allow this kind of action. That statute very specifically sets up what a liquor control commissioner must do to even have the power to have a temporary closing. He didn't do any of those things here. Now, there was a lot of noise made about the word may in that statute, and generally the word may is permissive, but you have to take a rather strained parsing of the statute to find that may, the permissive word, applies to issuing the written notice in this case. The statute, on a clear reading, says that he may close down the licensed premises for not more than 7 days. He may do that upon issuance of a written order. He may do that giving the licensee an opportunity to be heard during that period, if he has reason to believe that he's got a threat to the welfare of the community. None of those things were done here. In fact, he had no threat to the welfare of the community. He had a single violation. His agents in the police had tried to prove that there was a threat of any further action by sending other minors into the bar. None of them were served. He had no reason to believe that there was continued threat to the welfare of the community. Well, Your Honor, the State Liquor Control Commission's findings don't apply to this temporary closing. Again, that's part of the problem of this case. We have no order. There was never any order for the closing that night, for that time during this very busy Tug Fest, that they could take an appeal to the Liquor Control Commission. The Liquor Control Commission went ahead and determined that the 3-day closing that was later required was proper. That this single, it was a $500 fine as well, so that the single punishment for that single violation was proper. The Liquor Control Commission has never made any decision, and indeed could not make any decision, that the closing for that night was proper, because there was nothing to appeal. There was no decision to point to say, this is what he did, these were the reasons he did it, and now we're able to come to you and ask you if he did it for the proper reasons. Moreover, there was some argument, and actually that starts to touch on some of the due process claims as well, and I will get into that at this time. That highlights the exact reason that there's a major violation of due process here. Because due process, according to Parrott versus Taylor, requires that you have to have fundamentally a meaningful time to be heard and a meaningful matter in which to be heard. The statute that provides what this liquor control commissioner had to do in order to shut this down provides for exactly that. It provides that during the temporary shutdown there must be a hearing. It doesn't provide that during the temporary shutdown if it's convenient, during the temporary shutdown if there's a good time to do it. It says that during the temporary shutdown there must be a hearing. And that makes perfect sense, because the property right that's lost here is the right to be open during that temporary shutdown. And without an opportunity to be heard during that time, there is no real redress for what's happened if it was not done properly, if it was not done for the reasons that are set out in the statute. Absolutely, Your Honor, because that is what the statute says. Anywhere that the Liquor Control Commissioner, after issuing his written notice, could have gotten together and had this hearing. Because that's what the statute says that he has to do. And you have to follow a mandatory provision of a statute in order to have any authority to act, in order for your actions not to be illegal and void if you're acting as an administrative agent. I think you still. He's still acting outside his authority. I would not suggest that it's impossible for a judge to make a judgment mistake and be protected by immunity. I would suggest that we're an administrative agent, less than a judge, say, in the circuit court in Illinois or in the district court in the United States, would have general subject matter jurisdiction over an issue, but makes a mistake in his manner of acting on that jurisdiction, he should be protected by judicial immunity. There are cases like that. Absolutely. Well, that's a major difference, though, Judge, because this court does have general appellate jurisdiction. An administrative agent doesn't have any general jurisdiction. They're endowed with judicial powers under specific circumstances, Judge. They aren't endowed with general judicial powers for every liquor concern that ever comes up in the town. They do not have general subject matter jurisdiction. They are not a body that's granted jurisdiction over everything. They are, in fact, a statutorily created animal. Supposing that he followed the constraints of the statute, that he issued an order saying these were the reasons, that... It's 2 o'clock, actually, Your Honor. There were 4 hours' time. There's been no fact given to explain why he could not come to the bar himself. The chief of police was able to come to the bar himself and hold at least some kind of hearing. Had he issued that order, even a written order saying, I see this major problem, and I am out of time, Your Honor. I would like to finish this and perhaps touch on if he had allowed for the requirements of the statute, if he had shown up and actually had the hearing, then he's protected, because then he has the jurisdiction, he has the authority to act. As far as the question of municipal liability, we would stand mainly on the briefs, except to say that it becomes less clear when you have an administrative agent not acting within his authority that this was an action by Johnson and not by Chief Rathburn, including, especially, considering the other facts.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. I represent the village of Port Byron. I think that at the outset, there's been one fact that we should make clear about this case. We're dealing with the Tug Fest. Now, what this is, and I find this amazing, they string a rope across the Mississippi River and hold a tug of war between Illinois and Iowa, which I find to be totally amazing, and so do thousands of other Illinois and Iowa citizens who flock into town for this. As part of the festivities, they relax the local ordinances governing liquor control, and they allow people to drink on the public streets. Now, unfortunately, this also attracts underage drinkers like ants to a picnic. The village of Port Byron recognized this problem, and they took measures to control it. Now, at some point during the evening, they came across reliable evidence that G's bar was selling liquor to an underage drinker. The underage drinker even told the police that he was never carded when he walked in. Now, they reported this to the mayor, who happens to be under statute, the Liquor Control Commissioner. He's in the middle of a festival. He has 5,000 people here in town, and he's got a bar that's selling liquor to minors. I'm sorry, the underage drinkers. He had to do something. He sent an order out, and he said, close that bar down for the rest of the night, which they did. From what I've gathered reading the depositions, we're talking about 3 or 4 bars, but we went during the festival time period, this place opens up. I could only guess, Your Honor. I've never visited the town, but I would guess just a matter of a couple thousand. So this is a very, very big event for them. The Liquor Control Commissioner did not issue a written order to close down G's. What he did was he spoke face-to-face with the chief of police, and he says, I want this done now. He could have gone out at 10 o'clock at night and found a secretary to come into the office and type up a written order. Or perhaps he could have scribbled on a notepad, close down G's for selling liquor to minors. Perhaps that would have been sufficient, and maybe we wouldn't be here today if he had done that, but he didn't. Now, does this deprive him of jurisdiction? We submit that it does not. The Liquor Control Act specifically states that it should be liberally construed to affect its purpose, to protect the health and welfare of the citizens. The mere fact that one minor procedural step was not completed does not deprive the Liquor Commissioner of his authority to make these types of decisions. Now, one point that came up is that if he had made this written order, well, he could have shown this to the owners of the bar, and they would have seen a written order from the Liquor Commissioner stating, you've been selling liquors to minors. This is the reason why you're being closed down for the next 4 hours. The fact is, when you look at the statute, it says nothing about showing this order. I believe that the written order that the liquor commissioner was supposed to have written is essential in one respect. The fact is, what do you do with that order when it's written? You give it to the chief of police and he puts it in his pocket. You file it. According to the statute, the liquor commissioner can shut that business down without notice or hearing. He has no obligation to show a written order. He doesn't have any obligation to even explain why. They can show up and say, we're locking you down, we'll talk to you later about this. And they could have done that under statute, and there is no question in this case as to whether that statute is unconstitutional. But that's not what happened. They showed up at the bar's door, they explained the charges, they explained the evidence that they had against them, and they explained the reason why they were shutting it down. Right there, they have a hearing. The following morning, absolutely. If you look at the case cited in Judge Gorman's opinion, Cleveland Board of Education versus Loudermill, the essential requirements of due process, you have three of them: notice of the charges, explanation of the evidence, opportunity to present the other side of the story. That would be true, Your Honor, and I suppose that he could probably have overridden the mayor's decision. I can't imagine any circumstances where he would have. I'm suggesting that the essential requirements of due process have been met, and more importantly, we didn't need to meet those requirements. Under state law, we can shut them down without notice or hearing. That's it. They got more. Personally, Your Honor, I would say that would be a bit of a stretch of his authority. However, Your Honor, when you read the statute, it basically says that if he perceives this Scandinavian as being a threat to the public welfare, you're darn right, he has the right to do it without notice, without any opportunity to be heard. As it is, they gave him notice. They gave him a chance to tell his side of the story. The following morning, they gave him another chance to explain his side of the story. Then they allowed him to reopen. We're talking here about 3 or 4 hours of closure. The fact that he did not issue a written order, an order which need not even be given to the owners of this bar, has absolutely no relevance to this case, and it certainly doesn't deprive him of jurisdiction to make these rulings. I think it's also important to stress the liberal construction of the Liquor Control Act. This is not an order that had to be served or posted on the door. It's simply to demonstrate that the police chief had the authority to make the closure, and at the time, that was not questioned. Plaintiff's argument on the jurisdiction of the Liquor Control Commission confuses absence of jurisdiction with jurisdiction exercised improperly. We have a minor procedural error, and it was made under circumstances that are entirely understandable. We have 5,000 people in town drinking on the streets, and we have underage drinkers that are drinking. That's enough. There is one other aspect to the case, that they claim that because the restaurant was shut down as well, that we exceeded our authority. Fact is, every tavern in the state of Illinois serves some type of snacks, popcorn, peanuts, those disgusting smoked sausage items. The fact is, when they are found to be selling to underage drinkers, they get shut down, the doors are locked, nobody leaves them open to sell more popcorn. In this case, the evidence is undisputed. The Killingers said that they had shut down their dining room. They're not serving sit-down dinners here. They're serving snacks. The notion that we've somehow exceeded our authority is, quite frankly, a stretch. I just want to briefly respond to a couple of comments that counsel made. He said that the liquor commissioner, because we don't have a written order, we don't know why he shut this down. That's a bit of a stretch, Your Honor. What we have is the testimony of the police chief and officers who witnessed the underage drinker. He also mentioned that the liquor commission findings have no connection at all to this case. It has a great connection to this case because he was given two chances to hear his case before he went to the Liquor Commission. And at that point, he was given full opportunity to present his case, not only as to the violation of the liquor code, but also as to the actual closing of the establishment. That's all I have. If there are any questions, thank you, Your Honor. We ask that the decision be affirmed.
I have very little to say except that counsel is suggesting that he had no requirement to give any kind of hearing. That's directly contrary to what the statute says. He had no requirement to leave open the restaurant portion of G's just because they were fast food now and not a dining room. Also directly contrary to the statute. What they did here was close it down for a single minor without doing what they have to do in order to have the power as an administrative agent. It doesn't matter if it was a single 20-year-old out there drinking a beer, pardon me, or if it was 15, 20-year-olds out there drinking a beer. All he had to do was issue the order so that some other reviewing body can see his decision and then hold that hearing, even a brief hearing, by somebody who could do something about the decision. And he didn't. Thank you. It is really a tug of war with the Mississippi River in the middle instead of a mud hole, Judge. They don't pull them all the way to the Mississippi. They have the ribbon on their side, and you have to pull it to a certain point out into the Mississippi. It's unbelievable to watch this road stretched.